This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Peyton Pritchard is the reason why the Celtics are going to be so hard to beat for the title. Not necessarily because of what he does, but because they can have a sixth man who's scary and potent enough, and most importantly, confident enough. Peyton Pritchard is a demonstration of the Joe Mazzulla system. When Joe Mazzulla became the head coach, Peyton Pritchard was barely playing. His confidence was shaken, and Joe Mazzulla said, "Guys, I don't care if you're 0 for 10, keep shooting threes." And they have a situation where they can have an off night. Tatum is out this game. Porzingis is out this game. They get 19 threes between these two guys.
Final hour, Jones and Keith here on WEEI. That was Brian Windhorst, number one, saying guys like Peyton Pritchard, the key to the Celtics making a deep run in the postseason. To which I say, I mean, if it's going to come down to Peyton Pritchard bailing you out in some of these games, and not just on a one-off a shot, as you discussed earlier, Keith, but you need like a Peyton Pritchard game or multiple games where Tatum isn't going, I don't think that's a great sign for you. He also underscored, and when we talked about this earlier, we didn't focus on this, but he underscored that this is a product of Joe Mazzulla. Let it fly. Take all the threes you want. If you're cold, don't worry about it. Put up the threes. It's all going to level out. And that's what Pritchard and White were doing last night. They both went for 40-plus. First time in Celtics history that's happened. They both hit 9 threes in the game. First time in NBA history that's happened. It was 10 for Pritchard. So that's a product of Mazzulla and his system, is Windhorst's point.
Well, yeah, I mean, those guys definitely have the green light, and that helps. You know, they can have bad stretches. I mean, there was a week, two-week stretch where Derek White couldn't make one. He was in a big-time slump. Yeah. But they're going to keep firing away, and that is one of the things in the skill set of Peyton Pritchard. And in part, I do give Mazzulla credit for the development of Pritchard. Pritchard's also one of those guys who was a four-year college player, came into the league, and I think was going to be one of those guys that was going to maybe, you know, try to keep up with the size and speed of everybody in the NBA and sort of figure out where he fits in. He would have his flashes, but it wasn't super consistent. And now he's a more consistent player. He's got a more defined role. Like, he has a great chance of being sixth man of the year. And, you know, there are times, because they've had so many games where one or two of their main guys are out, and so they need somebody like Pritchard to step up and score, and, like, the shots are there for him. And then you get a night like last night where both guys are just throwing it in everywhere, and you don't have Tatum, so there's, what, 20 shots normally a night that you take those away. So it was their night, and I understand what Windhorst is saying. I think he's just going a little overboard. Like, I don't think Pritchard is the reason they're going to win the title.
Thank you.
I do think the room for error is, like, greater because of guys like Pritchard, White, Porzingis, Horford. Even a guy like Hauser has the capability of catching fire in a game. So Brown and Tatum don't have to be perfect, and they can still win.
So I agree with that. And early in the year, Keith, when they started, and I don't remember the record anymore, were they 15-2 or something like that? Whatever they started, and we're like, are they better than a year ago? Are they going to win more games than a year ago? Will they go for 66, which is what Pierce and KG did, or the franchise record and things like that? And we got carried away early in the year because they looked so good. Pritchard's improvement was part of my reasoning for that. And if that's what Windhorst is saying, fine. But, yeah, you're not going to get games like last night, obviously, duh. If he's just talking about a big shot in a big spot, well, then White can definitely do that. He's done that. And Pritchard could definitely do that. So I would bend the knee on that. But, yeah, if you need Peyton Pritchard coming through for you in postseason games because Tatum isn't doing it, then I would say that's largely a bad thing. No Tatum in the lineup last night. I was critical of him earlier today. Text line does make a fair point, though. And I said something along the lines of, well, Tatum goes out, these guys step up. If they're stepping up in the playoffs, then that's a bad sign for Tatum. Text line says, Jones, are you going to talk about Jaylen being carried last night? Or is that only a Tatum thing? I mean, it's not an unfair point. It's not like Jaylen had the greatest game last night, but
yeah,
it's easier to kind of stand to the side and let guys get hot when they're making everything like those guys were making last night. But fair point about Jaylen. Jaylen didn't do much last night. That's fair, I guess.
But this also kind of all goes back to the MVP conversation, which I know some people are like, I don't really care as long as the team's winning. But it's the same idea where in a playoff series, if Jokic has four bad games,
they're done.
Are the Nuggets winning that series?
No.
No. If SGA has four bad games with the Thunder?
Done.
Not winning. If Tatum has four bad games, maybe you're grinding it through seven, but you still might win.
I mean, they might sweep. Like, I mean, I feel like Tatum had rough shooting series anyway. Like, people always get mad when we say this. They're like, oh, you let him in assists and rebounds.
Yeah. No, he was fine.
Yeah, he shot like crap. And so that's what we're talking about. And that's the main thing in the NBA that when people go for – what are you celebrating last night? Pritchard's assists and his rebounds? Are you celebrating his shooting and his scoring, okay? That's what we talk about. And so Tatum largely stunk for all series last year in the postseason shooting the basketball, and they swept, for God's sakes. So, yeah, I mean, forget that, Keith. Jokic has four bad games, you lose.
They're
SGA
done.
Has four bad games, you lose. I mean, Tatum has four bad games as a gentleman sweep would be my guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's a chance, and he could do it all the contenders, right? Like, if Donovan Mitchell really struggles in a series, you know, I like Garland more than you do. Evan Mobley's fine, but, like, they're not winning unless Donovan Mitchell plays really well. Like, Tatum and Brown, both of those guys. Now, it's not ideal, and, like, that would be the spot where maybe a team like Cleveland could pounce on it. But we also said this, like, Cleveland also kind of relies on the Celtics missing a couple of guys.
Yep.
So it would be, like, Tatum struggles and Porzingis and Holiday are out. Like, that's quite a circumstance.
So, oh, I'm sorry, keep going.
No, I was just going to say, and then that's where somebody like Derek White and Peyton Pritchard come in. Now, I don't think you can rely on this for a whole series, but could they steal a game? Yeah, absolutely they could.
Yeah, and for sure, if that's Windhorst's point, then you did a better job illustrating it for him than he did. But I would agree with that. Meanwhile, the Celtics injury report is out. And you can jump in, by the way, on the actual significance. Like, last night was very cool. It was awesome to watch. They were red hot. It was ridiculous. It's crazy that they're the first two in Celtics history to go for 40-plus.
That's insane.
It's crazy they're the first two in NBA history to hit 9-plus three. So, like, that's all wild and very impressive.
Yeah.
And it'll be the answer to a trivia question someday. What does it actually mean for the Celtics? We can debate.
It's also funny that, like, at the start of this Celtics City documentary that we're all watching, and it's like now we're, like, reliving the history of the Celtics and the greatest franchise in NBA history,
right,
and all these Hall of Famers, all these retired numbers, and no, but they never had teammates score 40.
Nope.
I mean, the two guys on the team right now would be obvious answers for who you think would have done it, and Tatum and Brown. They just missed actually recently. I went back to Pierce and Antoine thinking, like, maybe they did either on a good team or even a bad team. Like, they both go for 40 because those guys scored all the points on those teams.
I mean, who was the third leading scorer on some of those teams?
Like Kenny Anderson or like Walter?
Yeah, guys who didn't really want to shoot necessarily unless they were wide open in the corner in the case of Walter. Anderson, I feel like didn't even want to shoot.
Mark Blunt?
Yeah.
Like, who do you think was...
So, like, they would have been a good guess. Bill Russell, we were looking this up. Bill Russell never scored 40 in his career.
Right.
They never had a 40-point game in his career. The Celtics just had two of them last night. So I personally would have guessed Bird and McHale. I just knew they both set their career highs, like, basically back-to-back. That would have been my guess, but whatever.
It's Pritchard and White. Amazing.
So what's the actual significance? You can jump in on that. 617-779-7937. Windhorst is applying a lot of meaning to it. I tend to think it was just a cool night for the Celtics, but I wouldn't go further than that. Meanwhile, injury report out, Keith.
Lineup is out.
Thank you, Evan Drellick. Jaylen Brown, out. This is against Philly tonight.
Yeah.
Jrue Holiday, out. That's Jrue Mallet Finger Holiday.
Yeah, well, listen, that's not nothing to trifle with.
Put that on the basketball reference page. Al Horford, second night of a back-to-back, out. Jason Tatum, questionable. Sam Hauser, questionable. Kristaps Porzingis out with another non-COVID illness. I say another, meaning another game that he's missing with that.
Maybe that's what CeCe has. Does he have a 103 temperature? We gotta go ask Porzingis.
Well, the text line is wondering. It could be what CeCe has. Text line is wondering, does KP have dysentery? He's been out for a while with this illness. They did just play.
That would not be good.
They played the Blazers last night. Oh, my God. They played the Blazers last night. The Blazers brought their dysentery here. I didn't even think about that when we were talking about Kiefer Madness.
If you were at the game last night, you might want to stay low.
Wash your hands. If you were in the Garden last night, wash your hands right now. I even think about how the Blazers were here. My
they
God.
Dysentery.
Ground zero. I guess Portland's ground zero, but ground 1.0.
Ground one.
Something like that. Whatever
as
the next
they all
one
say.
Arcan, by the way, was texting me about Ski Free. He said it was definitely an abominable snowman at the foot of the mountain.
How about that?
Not a bear. I wasn't.
Like the
wasn't
one that Andy Hart had in his yard until it popped. He had that this past year.
It's true. A lot of people questioning my pronunciation of Sam Squanch. You can watch Trailer Park
right.
Boys for me one time, if you could. Also, Keith, we were getting some texts and feedback about that. Oh, actually, this is on social media, responding to the Jones and Keith bracket. We're on the verge of our first upset.
Oh, okay, let me take a look.
So we have revealed the 116 seed in the basketball region. I would say the football region, keep voting. The baseball region, keep voting. But those seem to be some significant distance there. Healthy vote totals, certainly in the football region, the first one we put out. Baseball region building as well. The Chargers Powder Blues are hammering the Bengals white Bengal Tiger uniforms. In the football region, that's 1 versus 16. In the baseball region, Expos red, white, and blue. Significant lead over the Joe Carters, the number 16 seeded Blue Jays. So keep voting there. I don't know how much you're going to be able to change the outcome. We have a tight battle, though, 1 versus 16 in the basketball region. The Nuggets, Rainbow Skyline, which you and I both agreed, like the best uniform in the history of the sport.
I love that.
They are in a tight tooth and nail battle with the number 16 90s teal Charlotte Hornets uniforms.
It's a good uniform. That's what I'm telling you. There's no automatic win in any of these matchups right off the rip. But that Nuggets one is insane. It's the skyline. So you have buildings, mountains, and a rainbow in the same thing.
When you see those, what player do you think of?
Alex English.
Michael Adams.
Good one.
LaPhonso Ellis.
LaPhonso Ellis,
like somebody, something like that is what I think of when I see those.
What about, did Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf play?
Oh, yeah.
Chris Jackson at LSU.
And then in the NBA,
the
Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf.
He was one of the great college players of all time.
Yeah, for sure. So he would be rocking those. Here's what I wonder about the Charlotte. I'm not trying to influence the vote, but if I could influence the vote, I would.
Uh-oh.
Are the Charlotte Hornets 90s teal uniforms actually cool? Like the look of them? Or are we just, because we're children of the 90s, Keith, do we just know they're cool because they were a cool team and it's influencing our brain? But maybe this vote total would tell you the kids like Terp are, they're really voting. They're seeing them side by each, and you know it's a neck and neck battle, tooth and nail, 1 versus 16.
Right, because we're not talking about starter jackets. We're talking about uniforms.
Correct.
The uniform for the Nuggets, I think, was better.
Right.
The Hornets, they were cool. The players on the team were cool.
Right.
They were the best NBA Jam combo in the game. Grandma Ma, like they were great. But there's no actual Hornet on their uniform. The Hornet was on, like, hats and
right.
the starter jacket.
Right.
So, I mean, the Hornet was dribbling a ball, which you know to me. Anytime a mascot is playing the sport, I'm sold.
I'd be curious to hear Bradfoe's thoughts on this, but yeah.
The Hornet, if the Hornet was on this uniform, it would be a one seed.
Buzz right
not.
To the
it
top.
It just says Charlotte or just Hornets on it.
Okay.
If you look at the Hornet, though, Jones, he's wearing basketball sneakers,
mm-hmm.
which is outrageous. The thing, he can fly. He doesn't need to wear basketball sneakers. But he's wearing basketball sneakers, and he's dribbling a ball.
What are they? I don't have it in front of me. They look like pumps? This is the 90s again. What is he wearing? Pumps?
No, this is probably like a all-white Converse
okay.
or something all right. like that.
Something tasteful. Yeah. So your vote's definitely going to matter in the basketball region. We may have our first UMBC over Virginia in the Jones and
wow.
Keith bracket. If you keep voting this way, again, the Nuggets, Rainbow Skyline jersey, the Hornets, 90s teal with the pinstripes. Go vote at Jones and Keith. We're going to release the hockey region here, 1 versus 16, in short order. I mentioned Bradfoe, who I didn't realize today, just hates all mascots. He gets into dust-up after dust-up after dust-up with mascots.
They may hate him, too. I think it's both ways.
I told him earlier, although, Keith, you made a good point, it's Trump's America now. But I told him earlier, you got to worry about the cancel culture of this very clear bias that you have against mascots.
I think he'll be fine. He'll survive this.
In this climate, he's good?
Yeah.
Okay. So when Bradfoe wasn't talking about the honestly shockingly long list of incidents he's had with mascots at spring training, he did give us what I think is a pretty significant update on the Red Sox and who will be the opening day third baseman.
What we know right now is that he hasn't appeared in a game. He hasn't even appeared as a game's hitter, although that seems to be right around the corner. Alex Bregman has not played second base at all, although Alex Cora just said that maybe after this off day on Monday, they really lock in on who's playing where because they're just trying to get guys at bats. But all we have to go by is the here and the now. And the here and the now just says to me, Devers will be ready for opening day as the DH. Bregman's going to be ready for opening day as the third baseman, and then they're going to really hope that Vaughn Grissom and David Hamilton can do a good enough job where, at least to start the year until Christian Campbell gets going, maybe in the minor leagues, that those guys are your second baseman. That's how it feels right now.
Okay, so a lot there. And I just to avoid any confusion, at the beginning of the clip he was talking about Devers, has not been in a game, hasn't played at third base. Bregman has played at third, not at second. The plan as of right now, Hamilton, Vaughn Grissom, because Christian Campbell's had a bad spring. So Devers, he's not concerned about being ready opening day, but because he's behind, Devers the DH, Bregman at third, some combination of Grissom and Hamilton at second base with Campbell in Worcester. Keith, your reaction to all of it, the news, and also how would you feel if that's the opening day lineup?
So this was kind of my hope, where obviously you don't want anybody to be hurt or anybody to have a setback, but because Devers is going to be slow to make his spring training debut and isn't as far along as the rest of the team is, this is how you sort of get out of that, like, hey, maybe you would have been the third baseman, but you're not ready. Bregman's only playing third right now, so clearly Bregman's going to play third. I don't think they're going to have him play a month of third base and then stick him on second base. So this might be the best way. Maybe you're not completely embarrassing Devers either. You're like, hey, you're the DH because of injury. But then you do that one game, then the next game, then the next thing you know, you're just the DH. And then those guys fight it out at second base. Now, this is not your ideal lineup because your ideal batting or like lineup would have Yoshida, Devers, and Bregman in it. If Devers is the DH, Yoshida's not playing.
Or, and I'm sorry just to jump in, but it would have Campbell, who's having a bad spring, out raking and playing second base. But you're right. But Yoshida right now would be the odd man out in that scenario. You're right.
Yeah, and then so I don't know how many people think that David Hamilton or Vaughn Grissom have a better bat than Yoshida, but that's basically the trade-off right here. Like, defensively, they'll be better. The pitchers will be happy with the defensive linemen, but it's definitely not your best overall lineup. But again, if Bregman is playing third base, I like that.
Me too.
No matter how you got there,
Would you rather have a worse lineup with Bregman at third base? My answer is yes.
Yeah. We've seen enough of Devers defensively, so I would say yes. I would assume Cutter Crawford, Tanner Houck, and all those guys would say yes.
Well, there's one. And I guess shame on me. I should have teed you up for this with Bradfoe. We probably got distracted by the mascots, but I think you had a brilliant idea to keep Devers happy every time Garrett Crochet is on the mound.
Oh, he'd be a no-brainer. Have him play third base because all Crochet does is strike everybody out. There's no need for any of it to happen.
I don't.
So you can have all those guys. Just you and me. You can have a fan play in the field if you want. It doesn't matter.
I don't have the spring numbers in front of me, but something like 14 Ks and 6 1/3 or something like that. He just punches everybody out anyway.
Strikeout city with this.
So
guy.
What a brilliant idea. Instead of a personal catcher, you know, Greg Maddux would have
third
his
base.
Own personal catcher.
Yeah, Eddie Perez.
Thank you. I would not have gotten that, so thank you. Stay tuned. He could be our random player of the day.
He might be.
but you, Crochet would have his own personal third baseman.
Yeah,
you
so
don't
he can
need,
still say, I'm a third baseman.
You
Devers
don't
like,
need
well,
him out
baseman.
There. Devers is like, I'm a third baseman, .. every fifth day. Maybe sixth day if they go with a six-man rotation.
Yeah.
And he's his own personal third baseman. And there you go. Problem solved. Devers is happy. He's playing third. You don't need him on those days anyway. Team's happy because Bregman's mostly at third.
Yeah.
Problem solved, Keith.
Stay fresh. Keep your glove. You're still technically a third baseman. Who says no to this plan?
I mean, I'll tell you what. We solve a lot of problems on this show.
Yeah.
Like a lot of problems on this show. We already fixed the Patriots in free agency earlier today. You had a 60-second plan. Oh. I had a 60-second plan. While you're going to vote in the Jones and Keefe bracket, the various regions there, you can seek out our 60-second plans at Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram. So we already solved that. Here's another problem solved by you. And I was just kind of like an aside. It wasn't like a big plan, a big reveal. It was just like, oh, yeah, by the way, boom, problem fixed. So you can listen to Jones and Keefe for all your problem solving here on WEEI. We got your phone call, 617-779-7937. Good time to jump in line early for WEEI afternoons. They come your way at 2 o'clock. You got Hart. You got Fitzy. You got Ted. We'll get you our clip du jour as well. And when we come back, it's time for Grab Bag.
I'm a genie in a
grab bag.
Baby, come on and let me out.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, it certainly is, Jones. Time for Grab Bag here on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. All the stories you couldn't get to in the first 3.5 hours of the program, including this. In the NFL, the Cowboys have reworked Dak Prescott's deal to free up $36.6 million.
So this is why, and we talked about this when we had Elliot Shore Parks on the other day, and he's like, oh, right. He's dead cap.
Dead cap money.
All these headaches. The Cowboys in the last day freed up like $60 million in cap space. They restructured CeeDee Lamb. They restructured Dak Prescott, which means they're just getting paid all their money up front, basically. It's just the willingness of the owner to pay these guys up front and convert, you know, bonus money into guarantees or vice versa, you know, guarantee money into bonus up front. And next thing you know, boom, cap space. So it's why it's enticing that the Patriots have a lot of cap space. But the question is not whether or not the Patriots have the room to bring these guys in. It's whether or not Robert Kraft would be willing to go there with some of these free agents. We gave you our 60-second plans earlier today. That would be the question. But I do wonder what the Cowboys have up their sleeve with all of that money they've restructured and just knowing Jerry.
Is it just Parsons? Do they re-sign Micah Parsons, or is he gone?
Well, That's a good point. I was about to say maybe they're in on some of these receivers, knowing Jerry Jones and the shiny object, but you're probably closer to the bone. It's probably just freeing up money for Parsons.
All right.
Because some came in the mail today.
Yeah, I did. Grab bag.
Got him!
The Eagles have re-signed linebacker Zach Bond. Of course, he was the guy that signed with the Eagles last year. Nobody really thought much of it. You're like, okay, there's a linebacker. And then he was all pro. One of the reasons why their defense was as good as it was. One of the reasons why they won the Super Bowl. He was one of the names, though, on the list. It's funny. We were going through the list of top 100 free agents. And we're saying, man, that's an interesting list. But a lot of these guys are just going to get snapped up by their team. So you almost want to remove a bunch of those. The list then looks even worse. Because Zach Bond was a top 5 free agent for a day or two. Or not even really, not even officially in free agency. So he signs a 3-year, $51 million deal, 34 of it guaranteed by the Eagles.
Yeah, the one thing I would say my takeaway with the Eagles and Howie Roseman would be, because we talked about this before, oh, the Eagles are a Super Bowl team, and look at how they beat the Chiefs, and you got to build it like the Eagles built it and build through the trenches. And I'll give you credit, Keith, at the time, like weeks and weeks ago when we were talking about this, you're like, well, the Eagles also built up their wide receiver room. And they've also now paid Saquon Barkley. And I guess Howie Roseman, I saw this, maybe it was from Elliott Shore Parks as well, but I saw this on social media. It's like way, way out of character for Roseman to pay a linebacker, like an off-the-ball linebacker, not an edge rusher, but an off-the-ball linebacker. It's like very, very, very out of character for him to do it. So I would say the one thing the Eagles do is they just pay their good players. Or they pay good guys in free agency. They want to bring in talented players. And I would say that would be the takeaway with the Eagles. And if you want to hold up the Eagles as an example, there's no bad way to go about building up the Patriots. If you can bring in a talented running back, a talented tight end, talented safety, talented off-the-ball backer, I want them at premium positions too, Keith, and the Patriots have a million needs. But the real lesson from the Eagles is they just pay good players. Meanwhile, you pay crappy ones.
I also think a good message that they sent was, hey, if you come in here and play really well on a one-year deal, we'll reward you.
Yeah.
Like, we will pay you and keep you here. So Zach Bond and Saquon Barkley come in, help you win a Super Bowl, and then they immediately give them these massive deals. So if you're a free agent right now, and maybe you're not a top-tier free agent, you're like that next level down, and you're like, well, if I go to Philly, are they just going to use me for a good year and then dump me?
Right. Or what chew if me I up play- and spit me out.
Or they'll re-sign me and I get to stay there and they actually give me real money the next year.
Oh, and it's good. I think, what did Barkley sign? Like a 3-year deal? They already ripped that up. They're like, oh, you outperformed that.
Well, there's more.
Here's more. So that's a good selling point to free agents. Good point. Just the attention to detail there on that one, Keith.
Excellent. Yeah.
I want my grabby bag, grabby bag, grabby bag. That is brilliant.
If I told you that was just one man.
Wow.
How impressed would you be?
Wow.
It's one man.
How many tracks would that be if you wanted to
multi-track.
Yeah. This is like, you know, a wall of sound level thing. Yeah.
Well, bad news for Devils star Jack Hughes, also a member of the Team USA at the Four Nations Face-Off. Out for the season for New Jersey. He is going to get shoulder surgery. So Jack Hughes, one of the young guns in the NHL.
That happen at the Four Nations?
No, he heard it in the game against Vegas, I believe it was. Actually, he got tangled up with Jack Eichel, his Team USA teammate. You can't blame this one on the Four Nations.
Maybe it was bad blood from the Four Nations loss. Maybe that's what it was. They were like, you like Canada to beat us, Jack. They roughed him up.
There, for some reason, we can blame the Four Nations. Yeah. No. This has nothing to do with that. This is not like the Kachucks.
I'll keep working on it.
All right.
I want to grab. Dun, 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 dun. I want to grab bag.
So the concerning thing about this one, this was a new submission. Keith at WEEI.com. Do you know what I'm going to say about this one, Nick?
Yeah, because it was off-putting when I saw it, too.
Oh, no. What?
So I was, like, kind of nervous. So most of the grab bags that get sent in, Jones, are just audio files. Some are video files.
Oh,
and you're
nice.
Like, okay. So it starts, it's a gentleman in his car, sitting down.
Yeah, go on.
Wearing shorts.
Okay.
Wearing shorts.
Yeah, so?
I would say...
It's like 50 very, degrees out there.
Very hairy legs.
Okay, so?
I'm just painting a picture, Jones. Okay. I'm not saying good, bad, or indifferent. I'm just telling you what I saw.
Okay.
So it the you open the video, it immediately goes to a dude, like, thigh hair. And I'm like, where is this going? Why am I watching this? And then it just kicks into, like, I want my grab bag, 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 bag. Oh, no, wait. How'd it go again? Play
that
one
was,
again.
I want some grab.
Yeah.
I want a grab. I want to grab bag.
Yeah. But it doesn't show his face. It doesn't show any other part.
Just thigh.
Just thigh hair. And I was like, what am I watching? Like, I need to maybe request audio only.
Now,
so
on.
Then I just like immediately, well, my initial thing is I just immediately forward them all to Nick. I see it. I'm like, hey,
yeah,
Nick,
you can figure it out. So
I didn't warn him. I didn't say anything. I was just like, hey, there you go. Just roll this in.
It's like a chat roulette situation going on with all these submissions.
Just guys wanting to be friends. Dude. That's all this is.
Dude with hairy thighs.
Yep.
Dude with hairy thighs.
Yep.
So Nick, was that an accurate description by Rich? That's pretty much what that video was.
It was too accurate. Yeah.
Yeah. Now okay. Nick's going to have nightmares. He's like, I thought I forgot about it.
I turned to Billy and I'm like, you're going to have to watch this too.
So I'm the only one who hasn't seen it.
You want to see it?
You guys see
it. I'll check that out. Yeah, nice.
We might have to release it. The guy sent it to me. I think we can release it. Put it out there on the...
at Jones the sensitive... The Instagram. Sensitive
yeah, not safe for... Oh, yeah, you're going to click on it. Special. Not safe for work.
Nudité.
Like, you know, it's tasteful. It's tasteful.
It's tastefully done, yeah.
Bruins in action tonight against the Hurricanes. Should be a good one. I know people are pretty fired up for this Bruins team. Trade deadline is tomorrow.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the game's in Carolina.
Oh, boy.
I know last game the place was packed to see the Bruins play.
I have a buddy who claims he's going to be sitting with good seats. Brag of the week.
Wow.
But he's gonna be sitting with good seats. I said you got to get like a sign up, like trade.
Sick brag, bro.
Thank you. Shout out Andy. But, you know, if you want to get a sign-up, that like trade Marchand, fire Sweeney, you know, like something like, I'm like, you got to get like a, if you're going to be so close to the ice, you got to get something up there. But I think we got a Corpy game tonight, if I'm not mistaken, looking at the lines from today. I think we're getting
last
a Corpy game
until the deadline. So we'll have our NHL trade deadline spectacular tomorrow, 10 to 2.
Well, the only reason I bring that up, Keith, is yesterday Emily Kaplan said the only people that are really off limits... And it's not like she was like gung-ho about Marchand getting traded.
No.
But the only people that are really off limits are Pastrnak and McAvoy.
Didn't say Swayman,
and now he's out of the lineup right before the trade deadline.
What did they say? Conspicuously absent was the name of Jeremy Swayman?
Is that right? Well, you're saying that. Yeah. Yeah.
I've heard that before. I'm not sure if I used it properly, but
I think here we are. You nailed it.
EA grab bag. It's in the game.
We have a release date for Happy Gilmore 2.
Oh.
Coming to Netflix this summer, July 25th, for the return of Happy Gilmore, Shooter McGavin. I'm excited for this, although I'm always cautiously optimistic because one of the most difficult things to make is the comedy sequel. Not a lot of good comedy sequels, especially when they're 30 years after the original.
Yeah, have there been really any good examples of that? Like
the long layoff ones,
there's definitely good comedy sequels. I agree they're hard to come by, but they exist. Are there any with that long of a layoff? Like, has that happened?
No. I'm trying to think.
Dumb and Dumberer. That was what it was.
Dumb and Dumberer is a good example of a horrible one, as is Super Troopers. Super Troopers 2
was
tough.
I didn't see that.
I love those guys.
It was bad?
Horrible.
It was a slog.
It was no
horrible. And I love those guys. The Broken Lizard guys are hilarious.
It was
I think, Club
Dredd.
Dude, I like Club Dredd.
I don't mind Club Dredd.
Beer Fest?
Beer Fest, great.
Puddle Cruiser, their first film?
Didn't see that one.
Good.
Okay.
Good.
I'll take your word for it.
Slammin' Salmon, not great.
Also didn't see
you could skip over Slammin'
Salmon. Is that the restaurant one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I did see that.
The guy clubs the guy with the salmon or whatever.
I think I did see that one, actually, yeah.
Not great.
In the criminal justice system, the people are represented by two separate yet equally important groups. The
grab
to investigate crime and the
bag
to prosecute the offenders. These are their stories.
Oh, Jones, it's funny. We were just talking about Oregon Trail and word munchers and number munchers and doom during Madness.
Uh-huh.
Well, how about this? The finalists for the World Video Game Hall of Fame have been announced.
Oh, wow. Nice. Ski
there are 12 finalists.
Okay, Skeefree's got to be in there.
No, it may already be in the Hall of Fame.
It could be.
These are the finalists.
That's a good point, yeah.
Age of Empires.
Okay.
Angry Birds.
Okay.
That was super popular.
I've heard of both of those. I couldn't tell you I've played either one, yeah. But I've heard of them both.
Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare.
Okay. Man, I've heard of the Call of Duty. I could
walk right in.
Break down the different games, but I've heard of Call of Duty, yeah.
Defender, Frogger, which is surprising it's not already in there.
Yeah. Is Defender another older game as well?
Yes. Where is Defender? Yes. That is an older game.
Okay.
What else we got? GoldenEye? How's GoldenEye not in?
Great game.
GoldenEye.
I wasn't particularly good at it, but four-player GoldenEye? No. How do you beat that?
I agree. Golden Tee.
Okay.
Not bad. Good bar game. Yeah. Harvest Moon, Mattel Football, Quake, NBA 2K, and Tamagotchi.
Tamagotchi?
Yeah, so we shall see.
A bunch of those are surprising they're not in.
I agree. I don't like
Skeefree's chances listed on those names right there.
Well, that must be a small hall.
Yeah, that's a good point. Got to be a small hall for sure.
So I guess.
Grab bag.
Let's take a look at the top NBA performers from last night.
I'm curious where you're going with this.
Well, they might split the vote, but let me get them right out of the way. Derek White, 41 points. Peyton Pritchard, 43 points, 10 boards, 5 assists. Hmm. Also on the list, Bam Adebayo for the Heat had 34, 12, and 5. Damian Lillard had 34 points and 5 assists. And how about old man James Harden dropping a 50? Did have 4 rebounds, 5 assists, but another 50 burger for James Harden.
I'm 50. That's what I would go with, personally.
Yeah. If anybody gets the Sally O'Malley, you got to give it to him.
Yeah, I mean, you need to win. He won. They won. They scored 50. Like, that's better than 43 or 41. James Harden, greater than Pritchard and White last night, yes.
And they beat the Pistons. Yeah. Like, the Pistons are a real team. So.
Good. You can beat them, yeah.
All right.
It's time for Jones and Keefe's
Random. Brandon Phillips.
Eduardo Nunez.
Curtis Luskanic.
Baseball player of the day.
All right. Have we done this player before?
Probably.
Wait 2 minutes and find out. Let's go with a starting pitcher. A starting pitcher who played for 3 teams in his 13-year Major League career. He played for the Washington Nationals, the Detroit Tigers, and the Milwaukee. What?
Max Scherzer? That's too obvious. Keep going. Yep.
He's not random.
Okay, but the teams fit. Nationals, Tigers, and whom?
Milwaukee Brewers. This man is a 2-time All-Star. He finished 5th in the Cy Young 1 year and 7th in the Cy Young 1 year.
Kyle Loesch.
No.
Okay.
Good. Really nice guess.
You said pitcher or start? You said starting pitcher, correct?
Starting pitcher.
I was nervous we were getting Chad Cordero again. Okay, keep going.
Yeah, I think you want to roll AIDS relief. Like, if we're going to duplicate anybody, it'd be him.
Where was he an All-Star? You say he was
good question.
Yes, thank you.
He was an All-Star in back-to-back seasons with the Nationals. He is a more recent player.
Jordan Zimmerman?
Correct.
He got it!
Nice.
Yep. The Red Sox win.
Jordan Zimmerman had himself a nice little career. 95 career wins, 2 All-Star appearances, ERA of 4.07, over 1,200 strikeouts. Not bad.
Was Jordan Zimmerman? What was the third baseman's name? Was he
Ryan Zimmerman?
Yeah, had 2 Zimmermans?
The Flying Zimmermans.
That's why I had to hesitate there. Oh, they had both of them. Nice.
He had 3 nicknames, Jay Zim, or Jay-Z.
Well, that's...
Not Jay-Z like Sean Carter, but Jay-Z like Jay, the letter, like just initials.
Yeah.
Jay-Z.
I do not have the Twitch chat in front, because Keith, we're split squad today. I don't have the Twitch chat in front of me. I don't know if they beat me to it. I beat the text line to it.
Okay.
They had Anibal Sanchez, I saw.
Ah, nice, nice, nice.
Another
nice,
good one.
Yeah, good one.
Not a bad guess.
Kyle Loesch, very good guess. I was nervous about a repeat Chad Cordero, but that's how you play the...
First timer, right? Jordan Zimmerman, first timer?
I believe so, yeah.
That's a win for me. So you guys win by getting it right. I win by using a guy for the first time.
We should treat the random baseball player of the day like they do with SNL hosts. We just get like 5-timers club and things like that. That's That's what we should start doing.
It's like an honor. Yeah. The Raul Ibanez. He's a real.
Hey, he's a five-timer, Raul Ibanez, and the random baseball player of the day. It's not bad.
Phil Nevin's got some catching up to do.
Yeah, if SNL can repeat hosts, we can repeat random baseball players of the day. Yeah, I hadn't thought about it that way until just now. There you go. That's how you do the random baseball player each and every day in the grab bag on Jones and Keefe. We will get you our clip du jour coming up. I would remind you, and I want you to vote in all of these. In fact, let me double check. I think we have our newest region up. We do. We now have the 1 versus 16 up in our hockey region. It is the number one seeded Whalers. Stop complaining that we don't have the Whalers in there. They're the one seed in the hockey region versus the 16th seeded Flames. No, not the Flames jersey you're thinking of. The classic Lanny McDonald. You have the Firehorse jersey up now. You can vote in the hockey region. The football and baseball regions have been up for quite some time at Jones and Keefe. It is, again, the Chargers, Powder Blues, and the White Bengal Tigers. It is the Expos, Red, White, and Blues, and the Blue Jays, Joe Carters. But the tightest race, and let me see how tight this is at the moment.
Oh, still, this is real close.
Where we might have our first upset already. A potential 16-1 Nuggets Rainbow Skyline jerseys, which I love, versus the Hornets 90s Teals. Continue to vote at Jones and Keefe on Twitter. Full bracket will be up shortly, if it isn't already. And you'll be able to vote along there in these matchups. We have all the 116s up now at Jones and Keefe. So again, clip du jour on the way, as is WEEI Afternoon. Stay tuned. We'll hear from them coming up as well.
All right, time now for the clip du jour here on Jones and Keefe. Jones, you ready for that?
That sounds wonderful. What's the clip du jour again?
Well, it's the clip of the day. I'm glad you asked. And today, not only did we find out about a new beef that I have, or apparently a beef with me. Apparently Bruins or NHL insider Mike Milbury wants to smack me.
Yeah, keep your head on a swivel at all the local hockey rinks, Keith.
Wiggy, seriously. Take care of this guy. Give him a smack in the head. Yeah. No, Wiggy, I don't like Rich.
Oh, boy.
Sixth grade Rich Keefe would be terrified right now. But we also found out our guy Rob Bradford has a series of beefs, or it's what being called to as Brad's foes.
Yes, if we were going to do tiers, we'd call them Brad's foes.
Yeah, he's got issues with mascots.
I got into a little tiff with the parrot up in Bradenton the other day.
Now, what team is that? The parrot?
The Pirates.
The Pirates mascot is a parrot?
I don't think this is your first mascot feud, Brad Foe.
In this case, I was talking smack about the parrot because I looked down in Bradenton and this parrot is sitting in the stands looking like he's asleep. You know, like they tell the mascots, if you're going to take a break, go in the back room. This parrot was just sitting there, hunched over. Somebody asked to take a selfie with him. He sort of haphazardly just sort of turns, like, hey, okay, goes right back. I'm like, I've never seen anything like this in my life. And then I didn't realize that there was a guy next to him with a radio mic. So next thing I know, he starts looking up at the booth and starts making signals to me. I'm like, okay, all right, let's do it. Let's go.
Pardon the pun, the parrot sleeping really flies in the face of baseball being boring.
I would love to see Brad Foe at, like, Disney World just yelling at people about how to do their jobs.
Oh, I got into it with the Astros mascot once behind the scenes. Where
how many mascots have you got?
I'm telling you, he's got a real issue with mascots.
Yeah.
Well, you know, listen, I'm not going to say I know that all these mascots are real things and real creatures and everything, but this to say that they aren't. This is to suggest that they have some human being.
No souls?
The Astros, I guess it was Orbit, and I was just like, hey, hello, can I take a picture, whatever it was, and he basically attacked me. So, yeah, not a good day for Orbit.
Man.
Not to be confused with Norbit.
Well, I remember was it last year or the year before they were playing the Braves, and the Braves mascot came in there, and he was trying to do the radio broadcast and had
Blooper,
all kinds of shenanigans?
I think Blooper has a lot of shenanigans. I think he mixes it up with a lot of people that I've seen on social media.
Yeah. I think part of it, like, Brad Foe and Fleming were like, yeah, this would be great and all, but nobody can see you. Like, we're on the radio right now.
So, you're in the wrong booth.
Yeah, like, grabbing our ears and stuff isn't really the same as maybe if we were on television, but, like, go for it, I guess.
Why doesn't Wally do any of that?
I don't know. That's a good question. He should start to be a little bit more of an instigator.
Mix it up a little. Be more of a Milbury. Mix it up a little bit. Stick your nose in there. Why doesn't Wally do that?
I don't know.
It's a good question. Okay. So there's our clip du jour each and every day here on Jones and Keefe. It's time now for the crossover with WEEI Afternoons. It's brought to you by the 99 Restaurant. It's here, the prime rib dinner back at the 9. 16 ounces, slow roasted USDA choice prime rib. Serve with your choice of two sides. It's available every Friday after 4 p.m. all day Saturday and Sunday. You gotta love the Nines. What's coming up today, Andy?
We got a big show. We got Curran at 3:30. Your boy Razor at 4:30.
Our boy, yeah.
Yeah, which Ted really wants to ask him about the rumors that Brad Marchand and Sidney Crosby could be traded to Colorado. Yeah, two captains on the way west.
Have you heard any of this, Keith?
No, I heard the guys yesterday talking about it a little bit. I was like, that'd be unbelievable.
The idea that they'd run it back with all the Nova Scotia boys.
Yeah.
Would be...
East Coast Canadian boys.
Would be
Team Canada. Why not? They just won the Four Nations. They could win the Stanley Cup.
I'd be rooting for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wouldn't all of Boston be watching Marchand out there and like kind of latch onto the super team because you don't have a dog in the fight?
And yet, well, yeah. And in that spirit, I think we're 25 years to the day of the Ray Bourque trade to Colorado.
Is it really?
So Marchand to Colorado, this 25 years to the day. Wow. It could be Marchand on that day. I believe that's what I read today. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. That makes it even more interesting. Now, everybody in Pittsburgh is like poo-pooing it. Even there, they pulled a Keefe,
but
Bruins against Keefe, and they even did a social media thing responding to it.
Where Crosby was talking about
it? Well, Crosby laughed it off, but then the PR guy said something. Then the social media team tried to defend that it's dumb and it's not going to happen. But I don't know. There's reports out of Canada, and everything that comes out of Canada hockey-wise, I pay attention to.
Okay.
And there's reports.
I'm sure Razor won't shoot it down, so that's good. You can ask him about it. What else you got?
And 5:30, a popular return, something that's been asked for on the text line, on the Twitch chat, Quiz with Stiz,
nice.
An old holdover from the Rich Keefe show.
Good.
Makes its return to WEEI Afternoons.
It.
That's Fitzy versus Hart with Ted Johnson as the lifeline.
Okay. Well,
Why are you laughing?
Get in there today.
That's great.
On WEEI Afternoons. Wonderful, wonderful to hear about the return of Quiz with Stiz. You can also go to at Jones and Keefe. We have our 4-1 versus 16 matchups.
Hornets.
I'll tell you
Unreal.
What. That is at,
my grandmama jersey. I would have worn it had I known that this was an opening matchup.
At last check, it was a literal dead heat. It was a 50-50 actual dead heat. 16 over a 1 is in play.
I gotta go vote. I haven't yet.
Oh, I was about to. Well, actually, don't. I don't want the number one seed knocked out already.
Go Nugs.
But we have the hockey region 1 versus 16. Whalers in a route. It's real close in the basketball region. Football and baseball, you can still vote there. We'll do this each and every day on Jones and Keefe. Just visit at Jones and Keefe on
Hornets,
Twitter.
Hornets, 51%, baby.
And you can stay tuned for the full bracket. WEEI Afternoons have you covered. You got Hart. You got Fitzy. You got Ted. And we're back tomorrow with, a four-pack on Friday. We'll also get to our weekend review. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 10 on NHL Trade Deadline Day on WEEI.
Thank you, guys. That was fun.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.